The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so nine righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. As my spouse Brittany and I were cleaning and sorting and packing to make the big move from Jerusalem to Cambridge, I started to play a little game in the house. And that game was that any shekels that I found hiding in the couch cushions or under the piano or in any other place in the house, I would put them in my pocket. And at the end, I was going to buy her a really nice dinner. At the end of the day, the money in my pocket added up to just about enough for a falafel. And I thought that probably didn't compensate for the fact that I was asking her to make this giant international move with me. Over a couch cushion and find a coin, or more accurately, in my house, a cat toy, or an ink pen, or an old shopping list. What's not so nice is the reality that those coins that were residing in my couch cushions could have been useful and of value to someone. I found them not because I necessarily needed them, but because I was cleaning. I was cleaning in preparation for an international move from one job to another, privilege upon privilege. Those shekels, which were part of a game for me, could have been a game changer for someone else. How often we humans are careless with things of value. We're careless with money. We're careless with resources. We're definitely careless with the creation that God has given us, which is one reason that we are honoring this month, the season of creation, and praying for this common home which God has gifted us. We hope to be slightly less careless in the future. But sadly, we also are all too often careless with our fellow humans. At a dinner party some years ago in Jerusalem, I got to know the person who was sitting next to me, and she started to tell me a story about when she was 8 years old. Her parents accidentally left her at a gas station during a long road trip. I said, "Oh my, did you have a really large family or something? How many kids were there?" And she said, "Three." She said, "There were just three of us, me and my two older brothers. I took a little bit longer than usual in the restroom, and my parents were distracted, and they just drove off without checking the back seat." Several decades later, this woman was telling me with great passion what that felt like to be left behind at this gas station. At 8 years old, she sat on that curb and said to herself, "Well, I guess this is it." Now, while she was telling me this story of being left behind, of being lost, her toddler, her third child, was running all around the dining room, causing a lot of mischief and attempting to make an escape from the building, actually. And she and I chuckled about the fact that when you don't have children, or maybe when you have just one of them, you can't imagine that you would actually leave a child behind. But after you have several, it becomes reasonable. You understand how this could happen. She said, listen, I've forgiven my parents for that. But you know what I can't forgive? You know what I can't let go of? My brothers were in the back seat of that car. And they definitely noticed that I wasn't there. They must have realized straight away that I was not in between them in that car seat. And it took them many miles and many minutes before they said, hey, mom and dad, where's Stephanie? She said, it's like they were deciding whether I was really worth going back for. Most of us have some experience of feeling lost at some time in our lives. But how many of us know what it really means to know that no one is going back for us, that no one has paid attention to the fact that we're not there? How many of us really know what it means to feel that no one is turning the car around on the highway for us? This week, I had the unhappy task of helping to get care for Mary, who had been living on our church lawn for 4 months. The police officers and the elder care worker that we called in to help her were really outstanding in their care and expertise. They were kind when needed, and they were firm when needed, and I thanked them for that help. One of the officers, whose name was Tom, told me that he's responsible for 400 unhoused people in this city alone, in Cambridge. 400. 400 Mary sheep. 400 valuable coins. 400 beloved children of God. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. And so he said to them, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? The thing about this passage of scripture is that it's not actually about the sheep or the coins at all, because we don't know anything about those sheep. We don't know anything about those coins. We don't know anything about the faith of the sheep or the value or beauty of the coins. The coin didn't do anything but sit there between the couch cushions. This story is not about the nature of the sheep or the coins. It's about the nature of God, about who God is. What Jesus tells us is that the one who created us out of dust and love will not let us be lost. Will not let us be lost between the couch cushions. The one who set the stars and the moon and the sun in the skies and then placed us in a place to appreciate them will not let us be tossed out with the trash. This is the God that Jesus has brought us to know through scriptures and especially through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. God will not let us be lost forever. And still, how many of us have felt lost in our lives? How many of us have felt that because of our failings or because of our sins, our histories, or even our identities are lost and that no one is looking for us? Still, Jesus says, God is looking for you. God seeks you out. God comes looking for us even when we don't want to be found. God is seeking us out even when we need to repent, when we need to turn the car around on the highway and go back for those who are sitting on the curb. God, the Creator, loves us so much that God came among us as a child born of a teenage mother, a child born from a city that no one cared about. And God has walked with us. Jesus has walked with us all the way to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, bore the incredible weight of our lostness and has defeated it by the power of love. And because Jesus has done this, because Jesus has turned the car around, has changed the world around for us, we now are called and empowered to do the same. We are the ones now to lift every couch cushion and sweep under the piano and under every rug and to ensure that no one is lost forever. No sheep, no neighbor, no one is left behind. In Los Angeles, there's a priest that I admire very much. His name is Father Gregory Boyle. Some of you may have read his book called Tattoos on the Heart. One of the stories he tells in this book is one I can never get out of my mind. He was meeting with a boy at a juvenile detention facility and asking him about his life. And this boy had already been through so much in life. And he told Father Greg that he didn't know his dad. He was mostly alone in life. But he said, "My mom, though, she's different. My mom, she comes to see me every Sunday. And you know how she gets to see me? She takes 7 buses. She takes 7 buses to see me." Dear ones, this is the love of God. This is the love God has for us. The love that is 7 buses. This is the love of one who turns over every cushion for us. Who turns how far it's gone, no matter what the cost is, this is the God who comes to us when we are lost in grief or in addiction or despair. Our God is the God of 7 buses and of the cross and of the resurrection. 7 buses and many more, as many as it takes to come and find us, because you are worth finding. Amen.